This is today's Arts File Online. I'm Elliot Forrest, filling in for Carrie Nolan. Most of us would need hallucinogenic drugs to see what Russian composer and synesthete Alexander Scriabin saw when he heard music. Daniel Levitin is a professor of neuroscience at McGill University in Montreal and author of four books, including This Is Your Brain on Music. He's with us today to talk about the connections between what we see and what we hear. Hi, Professor.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Why don't you start off by telling us exactly what synesthesia is?
Well, synesthesia is, as you say, a crossing of the senses. People with synesthesia experience two senses or more at the same time. So ordinarily, if I run my hands across a piece of sandpaper, it might feel rough and I'll have a sensation on my fingertips. A synesthete at that same moment might have a taste in their mouth. And I don't mean the idea of a taste. I mean a real taste as though they had bitten into a piece of fruit or something. The kind of synesthesia that Scriabin had was called tone color synesthesia. The composer Scriabin would see in his visual field colors in association with certain pitches of the musical scale. Now, the interesting thing is this isn't a metaphor. We're not speaking poetically. He actually saw colors in his eyes, or so he reported.
How common is that?
We don't really know. It may be as common as 1% of the population as adults. It now seems to be quite common among infants. We think that all infants start out that way, and the process of neural differentiation in the first few months of life involves a separation in the brain of the different sensory inputs.
Does anybody ever want to be cured from this, or do they just enjoy the ride?
Well, for a synesthete, it's the only way they've ever known the world, right? So it would be like asking somebody who's got the ability to hear high frequencies that the rest of us don't hear if they want to be cured of that. It's what they do and what they have.
And how was Scriabin affected by this as a composer?
Well, one way in which it affected him, as far as I understand, is that he wanted the colors to be consonant with the sounds. In other words, he would combine sounds or sculpt with sound in a way that didn't create divergences from the way he imagined the music should look. And it inspired him to actually take detailed notes about light shows that should accompany his music. He would become enraged or infuriated if he saw colors associated with tones, perhaps from another synesthete, that he thought were wrong. The crucial thing here is that not all synesthetes experience the same associations. To Scriabin, C sharp might have been, say, indigo. I mean, I don't know that it was, but it doesn't mean it was indigo for every synesthete who hears C-sharp. So it's stable within a person, just like if I ask you your favorite color, that's probably stable, or your favorite food, that doesn't change. And the synesthetes make these associations with replicability. It's just that from one synesthete to another, it can be highly personal and idiosyncratic.
Next week, the Baryshnikov Art Center will be filled with both music and color in a program called Spectral Scriabin. Do you think the audience will understand a little more about Scriabin's music or synesthesia after this program?
Well, you know, I don't know that they will be able to experience the music the way Scriabin did unless they're synesthetes. And even then, because their color-tone associations might be different, they might find it quite jarring, and for the rest of us, it'll just be color, I think. It's not like when we hear a C-sharp, we have the sense of indigo, so the indigo lights actually being there won't enhance our experience. On the other hand, I'm somebody who's always trying to get closer to what the artist really intended. I'll tell you a secret if you don't spread it around.
Okay, just between us. Go ahead.
I've got about 8 different loudspeakers in my living room because I happen to know that some albums were recorded in the control room. This is the brand of speaker that they were listening to. Or when another album was recorded, they were listening to this brand of speaker. And I want to get as close as I can to what the musicians and producers heard at the moment they made the album. And if I go and I see a painting in a museum, I want to be at the right distance and at the right lighting that the artist intended. And so a concert like the one next week gives us an opportunity to get inside Scriabin's head a little more, although I think ultimately because he had a condition that most of us don't have, there's a limit to it.
Dr. Levitin, if there are actually synesthetes in the audience and the lights don't match what their perception is, are they going to see several colors at the same time then?
Yeah, they are. They're going to see the color that they associate. Synesthetes aren't hallucinating, so they know that the color is inside their head as opposed to out there in the world. but it's still a very strong impression. So you're right. And they may even see kind of color cords where their color might be red and Scriabin's might be green, and they'll see the red and the green hopefully working together harmoniously.
Man, oh man, I feel like I'm back in the 60s. The Spectral Scriabin is on October 25th and 26th. Daniel Levitin is a professor and author. If you'd like to hear more from Daniel, he'll be talking about music, inspiration, creativity, and I suspect color at the 92nd Street Y on November 3rd. Thank you so much for spending time with me.
Thank you.
And that was this week's Arts File Online. For Carrie Nolan, I'm Elliot Forrest.